Blog Talk Radio.
Hello world, it's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood, Reaching the World for Christ. Our subject is, What Have You Got Stirred Up? So that's the subject today, and so I want to apologize to everybody there for everything that happened. I don't know, understand what happened. Everything just went off and shut down. The power shut everything off here for a second, long enough to shut us down, but God has got it all under control, and we had Brother John ministering to us, and we heard about maybe 3 minutes of his message, and so I don't know how long he preached before we could ever get back to him, but if you want to be a part of this service, why, call in on 310-742-1759. That's 310-742-1759. So go ahead there, Brother John, and obey the Lord.
All right. Well, I appreciate it again. I guess we'll do it all over again. Amen. Hallelujah for a double portion. I was really stirred in the message there. Didn't realize there wasn't nobody out there listening, but amen. Hallelujah. Preaching to myself. I praise the Lord for that, but I apologize. Maybe, but the thing is about, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
We need to know tonight that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to quicken us again, and we're going to preach it all over again, man, because we definitely have something stirred up here tonight, amen, where we definitely are stirring the blood. But going back, amen, to those of you that were already listening and those of you who just turned in, Acts chapter 17, starting with verse 10, and there's amen, and they were actually there in Thessalonica, as I had said before. The Jews, amen, had got stirred up. There was Jason there, and Paul, and Silas, and Timothy, amen. And the city was just stirred up, amen. There was a stirring because of the word of God. But, amen, they began to become a person there in Thessalonica, amen, pressed beyond measure, amen. Here was a man, men and women of God, who began to preach the word of God, amen. And the word of God was not received, amen, with a readiness of mind there in Thessalonica at first, amen, and through the areas there, amen, and they come to Berea, which is there a part of the Macedonian, amen, amen. And so the Bible says, I believe it's in Matthew 10:23, it says, when you're persecuted in one city, to go, amen, to another city, he said that you would not go through all the cities, amen, of Israel, till the Lord returns. So he was saying when you became persecuted, amen, in the city, to go to another city, amen. You weren't being received. There wasn't peace. Amen. And so, amen, the Bible says there in verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming together went into the synagogue of Jews. So when Paul and Silas went into Berea, amen, immediately they went into the synagogue. They went in, amen, to the place of worship, the place of assembling themselves together. Amen. Church, when a child of God, when a son and a daughter of God came, amen, into a city, amen, we need to find out, amen, where they're assembling, where they are assembling together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a promise tonight for God, amen, in Matthew chapter 16 and also in Matthew chapter 18. The Bible says, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Amen. And we know that if he is in the midst, the Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy, and at his right hand the pleasures evermore. So that will show us the path of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is willing to show you the path of life. Amen. It's a narrow way tonight. It's the Hodos, in other words. Amen. It's a straight gate, the narrow way tonight. Amen. And few be there that find it. But the Lord Jesus Christ wants to stir you to come to that place, to come to that straight gate, to come to that narrow way. You know, it's easy to get on the way of destruction tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. The Bible says, broad is the gate and narrow, and wide is the path of destruction tonight. But, church, you don't need to get on that path. The Bible says in Isaiah 35 and 8, there's a way of holiness, amen, amen, where nothing unclean shall enter in, amen, no wayfaring man, no fool shall be there, no ravenous beast, no lion is there, amen, amen, it's a place, amen, where only you and the Lord Jesus Christ is walking, is in his holiness tonight, church, amen, he wants to stir you to come to that place, amen, of communion with the Heavenly Father, amen, and the Bible says, in verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. When they went into the synagogue of the Jews there, amen, began to receive with the readiness of mind, amen, that were in the synagogue, amen, the word of God. They began to receive, amen, they began to search the scriptures, hallelujah, every day when these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed. Not only the Jews believed there in Berea, but the Greeks, amen, and other women. He says also a lot of women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So the Greeks began to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an outpouring. There was a stirring within the Gentiles, amen, amen. There was a stirring within them, just as Brother Yearwood brought out. I'm not going to get into it because I think he's going to go over there to Timothy, and I'll leave that scripture alone about stirring up the gift because I believe he's going to go there or someone else will go there. But I'm talking to you tonight, amen, that they had come, amen, to the place, amen, hallelujah, and they'd come to that place, amen, and the Bible says that when the Jews, so this was a multitude that began to believe. This was a great multitude that began to believe, amen. Say, therefore, verse 12, therefore many of them believed, also honorable women, which were Greeks and men, not a few. So this wasn't just a small number. It began to add to the church daily such as should be saved. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. You know, that's what the enemy does, amen. As the word of God becomes, and as Paul and Silas begin to stir up the people, or as people of the word of God begin to move upon them, you know, the word there is, it says, and the Jews that were at Thessalonica, who didn't receive the word, who didn't act upon the word, who didn't react upon the word at that time, amen. They got up and they went to there. They had heard that the word of God was being preached at Berea, amen. As they heard that the word of God was being preached, they went and began to stir the people. They began, amen, as a stormy wind coming in and stirring up and moving the people. Amen. You got to be careful, amen. The Bible says that we not our children tossed to and fro. Amen. With every wind of doctrine, they begin to bring their own doctrine, their own teaching, their own tradition. How many of you know tonight that the tradition of men make the word of God of none effect? They say they were believers in the law. They were believers, amen, of the law of Moses, amen. But they couldn't even act, amen. They couldn't even move and live under their own law. Even the things that they had set was, amen, a heavy burden, a grievous burden, amen. Amen, they had tried to make men with their traditions and doctrines and instructions and what they had added and the burdens they had put on the men and women, amen. Hallelujah, amen, doing this and don't do that, amen, and adding to and taking away from the word of God, amen. And so, amen, they were just tossed about. The Bible says, amen, with every wind of doctrine and seducing spirits and doctrine of the devil. He said at a time that they would come in, amen, teachers would come in, amen, with damnable heresies. In other words, these teachers were mercenary teachers, teaching false doctrine. You had false teachers rising up, false prophets rising up, amen, so they were coming, amen, and they began to speak because of who they were. Amen. They were likable. They had a what you would call a likable spirit, but it wasn't the Spirit of God. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, as they come, amen, as they began, amen, to persecute them at Berea. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, that Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So Silas and Timothy stayed there, amen, at Berea, but Paul immediately, amen, rose up and went into the sea. You know, the Bible says, hallelujah, that as I believe it's in Acts chapter 18, verse 5, and when Silas and Timotheus was come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit. Oh, he was moved in the Spirit. Chad, I want to ask you something tonight. Are you pressed in the Spirit of the duty of men? Is the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, pressing you? The Bible says to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul was getting ready to move in church tonight. I believe that God is getting ready to move. He said, I will work, but who will let? In other words, the word is talking about who will stop the move of God tonight. Who will stop the works of the Lord? You know, amen, amen. The Arabians and Sanballat, Tobiah, and they went to Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the wall there in Jerusalem. And Nehemiah was up there on the top of the wall. He was the first time. In other words, he was the governor at that time. He would help them build the wall, amen. Because of the king, amen, had provided, amen, the things to build and rebuild his city, rebuild, amen, Jerusalem. But he wouldn't stay there. He wouldn't live there. He would go back after his work was done, amen, and go back to be a cupbearer for the king. But right now, he was doing the work to the Lord. Amen. They even tried to get him down off, and there are people underneath the sound of my voice right now. There are many of you doing the work of the Lord, and you've got Sanballat and Tobias coming in and trying to get you down off the work of the Lord, to cause the work of the Lord to cease. But just be like Nehemiah. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says in Ezra that they hired counselors to frustrate the purpose. There are those of you underneath the sound of my voice, the enemy's going to try to send counselors, not counselors of God that have the counsel of God, but the counsel of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. And you need to know tonight that they're going to try to frustrate the purpose of God, the setting forth of the showbread. Amen. Hallelujah, God, you need to know tonight, amen, hallelujah, be like Nehemiah. He said, why should I come down and the work of God cease? I'm telling you right now that there are those of you that need to stay right where you're at, being stirred in the Spirit. Hallelujah, amen. Being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Knowing that your labor, amen, your work, amen, should not be forgotten. You need to know tonight that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe it's somewhere around verse 6, that we must believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Tonight we must believe that he is God, and that he will reward those that diligently seek him. As their God. Hallelujah. And tonight, amen, the Bible says in verse 15, and they that had conducted Paul brought him into Athens. In other words, as a conductor, those that, amen, were leading Paul, brought him into Athens to receive commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed. They departed. So here, they departed to come. Amen. They were getting ready to come unto the Apostle Paul. He gave them, amen, and he told them to come with all speed. You know, come as fast as you can. Church, you need to know something tonight. The word of God is coming. Amen. Hallelujah. The salvation of God is coming. The healing of God is coming. Amen. The works of God is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. These aren't coming attractions. These are things that are already here. Amen. You receive them, and they receive the word of God. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 16, now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred with him. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord, they that serve the Lord. Waiting on him doesn't mean sitting on a pew. Waiting on him doesn't mean just sitting in your seat. Waiting upon him, it means to serve him, to minister unto him, to minister unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not go weary. They shall walk and not faint. Church, there's a tonight, amen, as you wait upon the Lord, as you serve and minister the Lord unto the Lord in the body of Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 25, amen, as many as you, as least you've done unto these, you've done unto me. In other words, when you see a man hungry and you fed him, you fed the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see a man thirsty and you give him drink, you gave him drink to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you clothe someone, amen, hallelujah, that was naked, you clothe the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By those of you, amen, and that causes you to be a sheep and bear on the right hand of God. You will sit there, amen, hallelujah, in the end. But you need to know tonight, don't be a goat. Don't be an old goat tonight. Amen. Those are the ones that stand on the left side. Those are those that were never stirred in their spirit. Those were those that never stirred up the gift that God had given them from the very beginning. Those were those that never aroused and woken up, amen, under the unction of the Holy Ghost. tonight, you need to know, amen, because you saw, amen, you went by, you were like the priest, you were like the Levite, amen, and the man who fell among thieves on the, between the road to Jericho, amen, amen, because when the Lord asked, here was a man who had read the law, here was a man that had studied the law, but he didn't know who his neighbor was. Church, tonight, you need to know, here was a man who had very intelligent, that had studied, he had already got his doctrine, he had already got his doctorate, but this man didn't know who his neighbor was. Amen, here was a lawyer that didn't even know who his neighbor was, and he said, who is thy neighbor? Amen, church, tonight, you need to know, amen. The Bible says, amen, that a man fell among thieves. He was torn, amen, and the priest come by. Oh, the high priest came by, but he went on the other side. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, the Levite, he that was serving in the temple, amen, he done the same thing. He went over, but here, amen, this was a Jewish man laying there, and we know, amen, those of you that know your scripture know that Jews and anyone other than the Jews, they had no dealings with each other, but here was a Samaritan, amen, hallelujah, come. He knew this was a man that, amen, and fell among thieves. These thieves had robbed him. These thieves had taken everything that he had. They left him for dead, hallelujah. But you need to know tonight that old Samaritan came with his beast, and he poured in all. He poured in the anointing. Oh, church, you need to know that is the anointing that will destroy the yoke. He poured in all, and he bound up. There was some balm in Gilead. There was some healing medicine. Amen, this Samaritan poured out. This Samaritan was stirred. Amen, he was aroused. Amen, by this man laying, amen, in the roadway when no one would have anything to do with him. Church tonight, there are many people underneath the side of my road that are laying in the roadways of life. You done fell among thieves. You done lost everything you had. Your best buddy, amen, amen. Your best friend, those of you who thought were your friend, they left you to die. Hallelujah. But there's one that will come, amen. Man, that old neighbor, amen, that wouldn't even know you. Hallelujah, didn't know, didn't care. But the Bible says he put him on his own beast. He walked while he put the man who fell. That man who fell among thieves was the Lord Jesus Christ who fell among thieves. One on the right, one on the left. Amen. And you want to know why? You want to know why the priest didn't go over here to him? Do you know that men loves darkness because their deeds are evil? Do you know why the priest and the Levite didn't go over? Because they were the thieves that had robbed him during the nighttime. In the darkness, these were the thieves that had robbed the Lord Jesus Christ, that had taken him of his garments, that had taken him of his substance, that had taken everything away from him because he was the heir. And they wanted his inheritance, and they robbed him. That's the reason why they didn't walk over there to him, because they were the thieves that he fell among. These were to come, and this Samaritan, he didn't know any better. He come and he paid the money, amen, to put this man in the inn. Hallelujah. Amen. That was a time, amen, when this man could stay in the inn. And he said, if I owe you any more, I'll come back and pay the fee. Oh, church, tonight, there's one that has paid the debt, and his name is Jesus. But have you been stirred? Have you been stirred tonight? Have you been aroused? And the Bible says, hallelujah. Now, while Paul waited for them in the stir, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, this whole city had given themselves unto idol gods. Church, tonight, have you given yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, or have you given your life unto idols? Idols that have eyes, but they see not. Idols that have ears, but they hear not. And tonight, the Bible says, then certain philosophers, verse 18 of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what shall this babbler say? Others said, he seems to be a center forth of strange gods, because he preached in the name of Jesus and the resurrection. Oh, this is strange. Who is this Jesus? Oh, he's the Lord of glory tonight, church. He was God manifested in the flesh, preached unto the Gentiles, received unto glory. Do you know him as God? Do you know him as Lord? Do you know him as a Savior? All the whole world has been given and went into idolatry, but tonight there's only one true living God, and his name is Jesus. Will you receive him tonight? Oh, he's not a strange God. Hallelujah. If he's strange to you tonight, you can be drawn, you can be made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you were an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, you're made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, in the resurrection, oh, tonight, Jesus is the resurrection. Not only is Jesus the resurrection. Jesus is your resurrection. You've been laying around in places of death. You were like Lazarus. You had your grave clothes on, but God's getting ready to change your clothes. He's getting ready, amen, to take those old grave clothes, because you know what? You don't need them. The Bible says in John chapter 5, he said, and now is the hour, amen. He said, the day is coming, and now is the hour, is that when he would speak unto the dead, amen, and they that hear his voice will pass from death unto life. In fact, he said he went even a little farther than that. He said his empowerment, amen, even goes to the grave tonight. He said that there would be an hour when he would even speak to those that are in the grave. Church, that those of you that are underneath some of us are, that are dead in trespasses and sins, you're walking around. He's breathing into you. You're on life support because God of glory is breathing into you. He's resuscitating you. But here tonight, amen, you can have life because the Son has life in himself and the Father has life in himself. Tonight, you can have that resurrection. It's time for you to change clothes. It's time for you, as Lazarus did, to come forth out of those grave clothes. There was 27 steps down to that cave that Lazarus was in, and he took one step at a time. But when he got out, oh, he was set loose and set free. Church, tonight, it's time for you to take your grave clothes. And no grave going to hold you down, because tonight, amen, have you been stirred? I'm talking about a gospel that will stir the dead. I'm talking about a gospel that will raise the dead. I'm talking about a gospel, amen, that will bring you up out of your places of death. And he took them, the Bible says in verse 19, brought him to the empire, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, whereof thou speakest, is. Do you know what the new doctrine, church, tonight, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. This is not a new doctrine. It began in the Garden of Eden. It began in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This Word that was spoken, this doctrine that was given from the very beginning, has been here all the time and will be there until the eon, the end of time. He said, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, we would know, therefore, what these things mean. They were blind. If the blind leads the blind, for all the Athenians and strangers, verse 21, which were there, spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Marsyas and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you were too superstitious. In other words, too religious. You were devoted to your devotions. The religious worship had become your god. Your devotions, amen, it wasn't to a living God. There wasn't those. There at Mars Hill, Athens, the God of war. And this is a mystical God. It's the God of every God of Aries. He said, for I passed by and beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare unto you. In other words, tonight, the Apostle Paul was stirred in his spirit to declare unto you the unknown God. He's only unknown to you tonight. We used to sing a song, known only to him. Do you know him tonight? Do you know this? Do you have a knowledge of God? Do you know this one called Jesus? Oh, be stirred in your spirit tonight. Let me declare something into you. This might be something strange, but don't let the name of Jesus Christ be strange to you. Don't let the Word of God be strange to you tonight. Because you had your devotion, you had it in an altar, you had it in the scripture, but tonight he's not an unknown God. He's a very well-known God, and his name is Jesus Christ. Will you receive him? Will you be stirred in your spirit? Will you be aroused and awakened? It's up to you. Because what is stirred around you? Have you been stirred tonight by the message? Have you been stirred tonight? And most of all, have you been stirred by Jesus? Have you rose up? Amen. Hallelujah. Did you rise up like Mary and Martha when they come and they heard that he was coming? Amen. Knowing that if he had been there, her brother would not have died. But it is even more now that he is here, their brother was resurrected. Will you be resurrected by the power? Will you be stirred into the moving to move on into the kingdom of God? It's up to you right now. Receive him and receive his blessings and his spirit in Jesus' name. Go ahead, brother. You would.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good.
I'm certain you're still there.
Yeah, I'm still here, Brother John.
I didn't know if I was preaching to the silent audience again or not.
No, you've done a great job, Aaron. We appreciate you. I just had my phone on pause there, and when I started talking, and so you couldn't hear me there. So anyway, we appreciate each and every one that's called back in there to be with us there. We don't understand what happened, but we do know that when the power goes off, everything goes off, and it just shuts it all off. It just went off just for a split second, and everything went dead. Then We tried to get back on. We couldn't get back on because we were still dialed into the Blog Talk Radio. We had to wait till they cleared us so we could get back in. So that put us 30 minutes late, but that's okay. God's still blessing. The devil's still a-messing, and we know that we're still on the right road. So the devil don't like this message tonight, but that's okay. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world anyway. So just praise God. So
amen.
I'm going to let, Sister Gladys?
Yeah, I'm still here, brother.
Okay.
I can't hear you now. You still there?
We lost him, Sister Gladys.
Oh, okay.
I guess we lost him. I can still hear you.
Okay, did you go over all the scriptures, brother, on 16 through 25? Or 16 through 21?
That's 16 through 23, Sister.
Oh, all of those? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know you got through 22.
Talk about in Acts chapter 17.
Okay.
I guess we're still on some.
I can hear you, Brother John.
Okay, yeah, Brother Green's still there. So.
Yeah, you're still on. I don't know what happened to Brother Yearwood.
You just lost him. I guess go ahead and sit the glass and give whatever you're going to get. And we'll let Brother Green go. Maybe, brother, you would have called back in there on the broadcast.
Okay. I want to praise God. It's been a day. You know, the devil may fight. He may hinder, but he can't stop the will of God. I didn't want to come on here and start getting upset, but I want to obey God.
Amen. Amen.
I just know this much. Like Brother Yearwood said, the enemy doesn't like this message. He wants to know, what have you got stirred up? You know, the devil can't read our mind. You know, if we follow what the Lord wants us to do, and we read our Bibles and we understand them and live according to the Word like it says to do, then we can do what Paul says and go into the nations and go into the countries and go into the cities and preach the gospel. No, many people are carnal-minded today, and they may not understand all that the gospel says because their minds are darkened. And until the Spirit opens their minds and hearts and spirits, they won't understand the Word of God. You know, Brother John, you could probably reach some of my people that I can't reach. You know, Jesus
right.
said in the Word of God that a prophet has no honor in his own country.
Amen.
You know, the enemy may attack, and he may do this and do that, but I'm not going to glorify the enemy. I'm going to glorify my God. I'm going to boast on God because he's a good God. You know, I praise God that he's allowed this broadcast to take forth, and I'll stop when Brother Yearwood comes in. You know, I praise God that he's got angels all around this ministry, and I thank him for that. I praise God that the word is going out to nations where people's eyes are closed, and they don't have a clue about Jesus and what we're doing and why we're so stirred up inside of our spirits and why we want to try each week to get on the broadcast and bring forth the Word of God and go forth into the cities of people that will look and even maybe call us babblers like they did in that scripture. You know, it said in Acts 17, verses 18, it says, "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?'" I'm sure many people, when we get out there and preach the Word of God, they say, "What are they, babblers? What are they? They make no sense to us." That's because they don't have the Spirit within them to understand. But I know this much: though he slay me, I will serve him. Though he slay this ministry, he may attack from all sides, but I know God will provide a way. He will make a way for Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood to go forward with this broadcast. And the same with Sister Green and Brother Green. You have to forgive me. The devil is a liar. And by God's, by the Lord Jesus Christ's stripes, I am healed. You back, Brother Earwood? Are you back, Brother Earwood?
I can hear you.
Okay, Brother Earwood's not back?
No, I don't think so. He'll
okay,
probably get back in maybe in a little bit.
Okay, I'm going to go to Acts 17 and 22. Where Brother John left off, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars's hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.'" No, we can't give anything to God because it's all his anyway. But I know he inhabits the praises of his people. People misunderstand that scripture as they read it. But what Paul was trying to tell them, you're worshiping an unknown God. That's what the inscription is upon that altar. Now I know who I serve, and I know who I am in God, and I praise him for that. It's all his doing, not mine. You know, God wants all the glory. He won't let man take glory anyway. And I thank him for that. I praise him today for all he's doing in my life and how he's trying to show me things that I never once understood. And I praise God that what tripped me up and made me stumble maybe 3 months ago, I thank him for allowing me to no longer stumble upon them. In Acts 17, verses 28 through 30, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device, and the times of this ignorance, God blinked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent." You know, we're living in the last days, and it's high time we get off our seat of do-nothing and walk forward in this and truly preach the Word of God like we've never preached it before. There's people going out of here each and every day, like I posted on Facebook. I'm not getting prayer requests for 65, 45, 55, 75-year-old men or women anymore. I'm getting requests for young people that are on drugs and those that are drunk and they don't know where to go, but they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their bodies or they are sick on their deathbed. We need to be praying about the Father's business in these last days because my Bible tells me in the scriptures in Romans 9:38, it says, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, our government and the people around us may want to hinder us and keep us from praying, and maybe even someday take our Bibles. That's why we need to get it within our spirits, to understand it, to spread to people. And people need to understand that the things like Brother John was saying, the works that we do for the Lord, it's not about the works, but it's what we're trying to do for the Lord, to spread the gospel to all nations with these broadcasts. We need to know that we're stirred up within our spirits. We need to know what we're all stirred about. And I know this much, my passion is for Jesus Christ. I know that for me to live is to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that wakes me up each morning and puts breath in my lungs. He's the one that gives me the strength to walk in the mornings and get up out of my bed. And I glorify him today for that. In Romans 10, verse 8, it says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what we're all about. We're trying to teach the people how to get saved and to bring salvation into their hearts and to let them know that there is a God who cares about them no matter where they're at. Some people think they've gone too far and done too much to where they could never have a loving God allow them to come back to him, but he's not that way. He said he's married to the backslider. In verse 10 it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." In verse 13 in Romans 10 it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I glorify my God because at one time I walked away. Nobody can pluck you out of the hand of the Lord but yourself. And I walked away from my coldness, for not getting at a word and not assembling myself together like the Bible says to do. A lot of people think they can turn on the TV and get what it takes. But I know that's not enough for me. I know I've got to read my Bible daily and pray to the Father God and reach out to him for my strength each day. I want to turn it over to you, Brother John, since you were the first one to come on, to you, Brother Clint. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that.
Whichever you guys want to do.
Go ahead, Brother John.
Brother Ewell just called me on his phone, and their power's out, so he's going to try to get back on, but he goes just to continue on. So I don't really have it. I think the Brother and Sister Green's on, and Sister Gladys and me, and they can't turn anybody else on. So Brother Green, go ahead.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah, I was just giving it back to John.
I thank God that I'm saved and stirred up to serve the Lord. You know, I was thinking, you know, there, he was reading there in the book of Acts how Paul was stirred in his spirit. And, you know, we need to get stirred sometimes when we see things going on. If we're not stirred about these things, then we'd have to question our salvation. If we don't have convictions about things, we would have to examine ourselves to see if we got the right spirit. You know, I was thinking, you know, there in Sodom and Gomorrah, when things were going bad, you know, there was Lot sitting at the gate of the city, and the two angels came to him. And they rescued him out of that place because it had gotten so bad that the Lord said, "We're going to go down and see what's going on." And they went down there to check out the report that they had heard. And it was not a good report. And there was things going on then that are going on today. And he said he would make Sodom and Gomorrah an example to the world. And he has done that. And I tell you, it seems like the world has lost their fear of God, and they don't take heed to their ways, and they mock God in many ways on the TV programs and things that you see. And they make a joke out of the Lord. I was thinking about Samson. You know, Samson lost his testimony when he went and began to mess with Delilah, and he did a lot of things that he shouldn't do. And I tell you, today the church, seemed like a lot of the church has lost their testimony. And I'm not down on the church because I know God has a church, and he has a true church. And just like it was in the days of Isaiah and in the days of Jeremiah and the prophets, and things were going away from God, the people was turning and going away from God and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and God raised up the prophets to begin to prophesy and to begin to tell them, and he stirred those prophets with his spirit, and he poured his spirit within them so that they, and upon them, that they could prophesy and they could tell people what they need to do. And even John the Baptist, they would come and say, what must I do? You know, what do I have to do? The soldiers. And he'd say, "Do violence to no man." And he would tell them, "He that hath two coats, impart to him that hath none." And I think he's talking about, you know, in the cold weather and things like that. When people have a need, you know, the church should respond and be stirred to respond to that need. And I thank God that many church people do. They are stirred to do the will of God and stirred to go and witness and tell people about Jesus. And, you know, Paul began to preach there on Mars Hill because he was stirred when he saw those people living the way that they was living, and he saw that they were in darkness and they had no light, and they was serving many gods. And he went by there and found that that altar to that the unknown God. And, you know, I'll tell you, he knew who God was, and he began to tell them that this is the God that made the heaven and earth. And I missed a little bit of the broadcast tonight, so I'm not sure what's been preached altogether. But he began to tell them, I know him. I know the one that made heaven and earth. And that's what we're doing tonight on this radio broadcast, is we're telling you that we have found the way. We have found Christ as our Savior. I thank God for that old song, I have found the way. And praise God, I'm so glad that 1975 I gave my heart to Christ, and I found the way there at 600 North Cherry Street in Eaton, Ohio. Praise God, a little country church, praise God. And I've never been the same since I got stirred, and when I heard the gospel preached and they began to say that Jesus was coming again, that the day of the Lord was coming, and the heavens and the earth was going to melt with a fervent heat, and Christ was going to come and take his people out of this old sinful world, and there was going to be a great catching up someday. And I knew I wasn't ready, and I began to pray, and I began to seek God, and I began to call upon the name of the Lord, and I began to ask the Lord to come into my heart and save me from my sins. And, you know, he did that very thing. And the Bible said that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank God tonight that my sins are gone, that I've been down to the praise God, to the old altar, and gave my heart to God. And you can do that tonight. If you're not saved tonight, you can find you an altar. You can make you a place to pray, and you can kneel and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart and ask him to forgive you of your sins. You see, your sins are forgiven. It's you that has to surrender. And when you surrender all to Jesus, he'll cleanse you from your sins, and he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and make you a child of God. And I'm just so glad tonight. I thought, you know, many people in the Bible had stirred things up. Samson, for instance, I was talking about, he stirred up the Philistines, and he got them so stirred up that they came down and they tried to take him over. But, you know, he had the power of God so strong upon him that they could do nothing with Samson. And one day he was hiding in the top of the rock. I believe it was called Elim. He was in that rock. And his own people went up there and said, what are you trying to do to us? And that's just my words. The Bible tells it a little bit different there in the book of Judges. But they were saying, you're making trouble. You're stirring up the devil. Now, I tell you, the devil will get stirred up if you begin to do, if you begin to make war with the devil. And that's what we're doing tonight, is we're making war with the devil, because we can't just stand idle. And we just can't stand still, but we must proclaim the word of the Lord, because God has put it in our hearts to tell this good news, and so that you also can find the way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Mm-hmm. Praise God. You know, we're in the kingdom of God tonight if we've been born again, but if we've not been born again, my friend, we're on the outside still looking in. Praise God. And I tell you, you need to look into this and see, is this really the way? And I'll tell you what, you'll come up with the answer that this is the way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the door of mercy that you can come through and find salvation. And I don't know tonight if you're being stirred, but I believe you are. If you're listening into this broadcast, that you're being stirred to serve God. And the Bible tells us once we've become a Christian to take up our cross and follow Christ. And praise God. And I've got my cross I've got to carry. You've got yours. Praise God. And now I'll tell you, that cross is, he said, my burden is easy. My burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, there's a lot of people out there laboring for the wrong things tonight. They need that rest which is in Christ. And once they yoke up with Jesus Christ, they got somebody to help them along the way. Praise God. You know, that the old oxen, they used to put them together, and you know, two could pull more together than one could pull by themselves. And I tell you tonight, we need to be yoked up with Jesus, and we need to be, because if we're just pulling on our own, we're not getting very far. But if we're yoked up with Jesus Christ, then we are plowing up some ground. Praise God, and we're touching the hearts. And it's the spirit that quickeneth, the Bible said, for the flesh profiteth nothing. And Jesus said, my word, it is spirit, and it is life. And the entrance of his word gives life to us, gives light. And his word is a lamp to our feet and light unto our path. And I thank God for the old rugged cross where Christ died at Calvary 2,000 some odd years ago. He died on that old rugged tree. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that blood came running down on that cross that day. And those that was watching, they gambled for his garments. They looked, and one of the soldiers said, surely this was the Son of God, when they see all the things happening and how that he died on that cross. And how that man on the one side looked over and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He wanted salvation. That's what we need tonight. Each one that's lost needs salvation. Even us that are saved, we must continue to fight the good fight of faith, continue to live for Jesus, and continue to walk in the light and abide in the vine. And he said if we'd abide in him and his words abide in us, we could ask what we will. In other words, if we ask things in the will of God, we know that we're going to get an answer. We know that the answer is on the way. Praise God. And I'm glad to be in the army of the Lord. This is the greatest army that's ever marched on planet Earth. Praise God. This army's not just on planet Earth alone, but this army's in heaven tonight. Praise God. There's multitudes that's already gone on that have fought a good fight and finished the faith. And you know, we just had a brother in the church passed away just a few days ago. They took him down to Kentucky yesterday and buried him. But you know, he had fought a good fight and kept the faith. And there's laid up for us, you know, there's laid up for us, praise God, many things in heaven. And there's a crown of righteousness that Paul said was laid up for him and not for him only. And I thank God, you know, Brother John mentioned about Timothy, how Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and that Brother Yearwood was going to get on that. And I don't know if Brother Yearwood will get back in tonight or not, but you know, we do need to stir up the gifts of God that has been given to us. And Paul was talking to Timothy how that he was given the gift of God through the laying on of hands. And, you know, we lay hands on people. The Bible said, pray one for another that you may be healed. And over there in Mark, I believe it's the 16th chapter, said these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So the Lord is working with us tonight. He's working with his people, and he will not deny himself, and he will answer prayer. If you need something from the Lord, you just keep believing when you pray. Praise God. And I'm going to read a scripture here tonight, found over here. Let me get my glasses here. I want to read a scripture in Mark chapter 11. And I don't think this has been mentioned tonight, but Mark chapter 11, verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. So here Jesus had went down into the city, and he had went down to the temple, and he had seen what they were doing, how they had made merchandise out of his house, out of God's house. And you know, one place it said that the zeal of his house had eaten him up. He was so stirred that he began to run them out and turn the money tables over and the changers of money and run them out of the temple and drove out the animals they were selling for the sacrifices. You know, God got a little bit sick of their sacrifices because they weren't living right, because they was trying to offer up sacrifices, but they weren't concerned about their souls. They weren't concerned about living right and doing right. They weren't concerned about treating people right, but all they wanted to do was get their sins forgiven. But I tell you, we've got to do more than want our sins forgiven. We've got to look out for our fellow man. We've got to have love for one another. And we have to have compassion for people. He even said, love your enemies and do good to them that spitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. See, we have to be long-suffering. The Bible said that God is a long-suffering God. Says that once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. And you know, he waited. I think it was about 120 years Jonah prepared that ark, and he worked on that ark, and he got those animals in that ark. And God's trying to get us in to the ark of safety today. That ark was a type of Christ. It was a type of deliverance, and that's who Jesus is. He is our deliverance. He's more than just a type. He is our deliverance. That ship that Noah built was a type, but the real thing has come today. And he came 2,000 years ago, and he was the one that went up Calvary's hill and died in that place called the Skull, and that hill there just outside Jerusalem. And he died in that garden, praise God. They laid him in a borrowed tomb, and they thought they'd done away with him, but they didn't do away with him. He rose on that third day, praise God, just like he said he was going to do. Praise God. He said Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, or in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. I want to read something else over here. Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, set thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Praise God. So we see that what I was saying was that Jesus is the way. And he is the one that seems like everybody's against. Whenever you start doing something and talking about Jesus, you know, you can talk about these other religions, many places you go, you can talk about them, you can say things about them, and nothing's ever said. I mean, you can't say bad things about them. You've got to, let's say if you believe in these other gods that the other nations, many of the nations serve, they don't bother you. But you come in there preaching Jesus and him crucified and how that he died on the cross and that he's the way, boy, you're going to run into some opposition many times. Sometimes people will hear you. Brother John was talking and preaching there about how Paul was preaching there and many places where he went on his missionary trips. And, you know, they followed him around and they stoned him. One place they left him for dead. And the Lord raised him up as the men, women of God gathered around him there and prayed. God raised him up. But you see, he had opposition, and everywhere he went, he had persecution. They would persecute him, even though God was doing miracles and signs and wonders, even though those things were happening, the unbelievers were still giving him trouble. I thought, you know, there was a lame man sitting one day at a beautiful gate there in the book of Acts in chapter 3. And it said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So we know today, praise God, that these people that were fighting against the salvation doctrine of Christ. They was coming against it, trying to hold on to the old traditions, trying to hold on to the animal sacrifices. And here Jesus had fulfilled all of those sacrifices. He was the Lamb of God that was to take away the sins of the world. And when the Jewish people began to hear this, and they had always been taught that you had to sacrifice a lamb or you had to take a turtle dove or something like that, well, you know, that was strange to them. They didn't really understand that Jesus was the one that all these Old Testament scriptures was talking about. They knew there was going to be the seed of the woman was coming. There in Genesis 3:15, that would bruise the serpent's head. And they knew it was going to be a man-child, but they did not recognize Jesus when he came. And so here Peter and John went up to the temple to pray, and at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and there sat the man lame from his mother's womb and was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, called Beautiful. But he got something more that day than alms. He got healing in his body. Now, he didn't just get a handout, but he got a healing from heaven itself, praise God. That God quickened his mortal body and raised him up and made him able to be able to work for himself and to do what he couldn't do. And that was a great miracle, but it stirred up the people and it got Peter and John in trouble. And just like other times, it got Paul and Silas in trouble and different ones. And there's been people have gotten in trouble in this day and age which we're living in. And, you know, many reports we hear from foreign countries that they've cut people's heads off for being Christians. They've killed the best friend they could have had. They had people there that could have helped them. But instead of receiving help, they turned on them and they persecuted them. And they snuffed out that message. They tried to snuff out that message that was going to bring them deliverance and would have helped them and would have helped their families and would have saved many souls. And I'll tell you, we need to pray for our brothers and sisters that's going through persecution over there in different countries that we've heard about. And we're preaching tonight in different countries of the world. And this broadcast is going all around the world, and people are listening in. And I hope tonight that you'll receive Jesus as your Savior. He's the only Savior there is. Just like the old song says, all other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now, I thank God I'm on that rock tonight. Praise God. I feel the Spirit of God in here, in my kitchen here tonight. Me and my wife, she's sitting here beside of me. And we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my daughter is a believer. And I believe that you not only have to say, Lord, Lord, but you got to live it. You got to walk right and talk right. And like somebody said, spit white and praise God. And they're talking about using tobacco, you know. I don't believe you ought to use tobacco. I believe you ought to come clean with God. I believe you ought to lay aside every weight and every sin. You ought to lay aside the things that hinder you from running this good old race and living a good holy life. But I'll get off of that. But that's what I believe, praise God. Just like John the Baptist, they asked him, well, what shall we do? And he told them what they had to do. He told those soldiers to do violence to no man and to live right and to treat one another right. And Jesus came along and began to preach. And he said, if it smites you on one side, one cheek, turn the other. And that's love, my friend. Ain't too many people can do that. And there ain't too many people wants to do that. I don't want nobody slapping me on the side of the face and then have to turn the other so they could do it again. But, you know, that's what Paul did. They persecuted him there. I believe it was at Lystra. And he went right back again. He said, I got to go back and see my people there, the ones that we have won to Christ. I've got to go back and see how they do. Praise God. Now, that's love, my friend, when somebody will go and try to go into places. You know, I think about people that went into Africa back when Africa was a dark continent, and they had all them animals, the lions and the elephants and the poisonous snakes and all of these. And men went in there and tried to take the gospel. They've gone to many places in the world when the world was in chaos, and they had no gospel being preached to them. Many people gave their lives because they felt like this was worth dying for, and they knew if they died for Christ, they would not die but live forever, and they would never die. Praise God. I was talking a little bit earlier over there in the book of Acts where it said that that David was both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Well, what he was talking about there was his body still in that grave. Praise God. You know, there in Matthew 27, many of the graves were open, and the bodies of many of the saints came forth, and they appeared to people there in Jerusalem, in the holy city. But, you know, David wasn't one of them. He had to stay, and he'll be there till the trump of God sounds, and I believe that, his body. But those people that were in paradise came out of that place, the spirits of them that were in paradise. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. But, you know, David had done some things that I believe disqualified him from getting his resurrected body there when those some of those others received theirs in Matthew 27. But he will get it, praise God, in the first resurrection. Praise God there. You know, there'll be others come forth. The Bible tells us that we'll be changed. Them that are in the graves going to be caught up, and they're going to be changed, and we're going to be changed, and to meet the Lord in the air one day. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, he said. So we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And I believe when that last trump sounds, there won't be none after that, I believe, until the thousand-year millennial period is over, where Christ reigns and he rules and reigns for 1,000 years. And the Bible said we'll be kings and priests unto God and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And now my wife's sitting here. I'm wondering if she wants to say anything tonight. Now, what's that?
Brother Yearwood back.
Is Brother Yearwood, are you back? Can you hear me? Brother John, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, Brother Green.
Okay. You want to say anything else, Brother, or you want to say anything, Joanna? Here, Joanna's going to, is it okay if she says a few words?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. I was sitting here listening to Clint talk and preach there, and I'm just going to pick up the phone so it'd be closer to me. Boy, I tell you, the devil doesn't like this message, and I believe we're just going to go right on with it on Friday night. The same thing. Praise God.
Praise God.
And we'll just go ahead and we'll study on that more, and we'll just black the devil right in his eye. You know, Proverbs 10 and 12 says, hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. Proverbs 15 and 1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And I just looked up the word stirreth. Proverbs 15 and 18 says, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. I'm going to just read a couple more. Proverbs 28 and 25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Proverbs 29 and 22 says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. And the reason I wanted to read those to you, if you're in a religion that is causing you to kill and to persecute others, and all, you're in the wrong religion. You're in the wrong way of doing things. The God that we serve is a living God, and he brings victory, peace, love, kindness. There's fruits of the Spirit. And the Bible talks about in Timothy, as Brother John spoke earlier, that they said to Timothy to stir up the gifts within you. Praise the Lord, and I believe Brother Yearwood, if he gets to come in, he's going to talk about that for a little bit. But I want to talk about how do you stir up the gifts within you. You go to prayer, going to church, reading in your Bible, fasting, crucify the flesh, put the flesh under subjection is what I'm saying, not crucify it literally, not to die. When we died already when we got saved. We the old man has passed away. Behold, all things become new. Praise the Lord. And so when we put away the things of the old way that we used to do, and that's malice and fornication and all those things that are against God, that's contrary to the Word of God, those are the things that we no longer do. And that's what we're, when we get forgiven of our sins, praise the Lord, we make a change. Praise the Lord. And we need to keep that change going and manifested in our life. And we have to just walk daily, pick up our cross. Brother John, I'm able to place a song here if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead, sister. Go ahead.
All right. Praise the Lord. It's
how much time's left, so you just go ahead and take it on out if you want to.
Somebody posted 8:30.
Okay, it's 7.
I think somebody posted 8:30 on Facebook, but I may be wrong on that.
Okay. All righty. Praise the Lord. So just stir up the gifts within you, praise the Lord. And I was thinking how back in the Old Testament, how there was, and I wish Clint would have hit on this, praise God, he knows it better than I do, there was some food being made, and someone came and threw in some gourds, and it poisoned the pot. And, you know, I'm thinking about how you can stir up strife, you can stir up things that are bad, or you can stir in some good things, some sweet things, like when Moses threw in the stick of the bitter water, it becomes sweet, praise the Lord. And what are you stirring tonight? That's the subject tonight. What are you stirring? If you want to be a part of the broadcast, we can't turn on any mics. I was going to tell you the phone number, but nevertheless, we can't turn on a mic. So I'm going to play this song here. Praise the Lord. Listen to this.
Oh, my burden, you're so weary. Thank you.
That you talk about stern. I tell you what, I was sitting here listening to this song, and I'm not cold, I'm not hot, and the goosebumps just rose up. We call them Holy Ghost goosebumps. And that, if you want to get quickened, I tell you, if you don't know that Jesus is real, you just try him. He said to knock, and it shall be opened to you. Ask, you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. You get down on your knees, and you pray. And you say, God, if you're real, if you're there you're alive, I want you to manifest yourself to me. And you know, and things that could happen in your life, praise the Lord, hallelujah. It's no coincidence. Things come go your way. Things that you never dreamed would be possible would happen. Our God, Our living God owns 1,000 cattle on a hill. He owns everything. He is the creator of all things. Praise God. Stir up yourself. Praise the Lord. And get that anger out of you. Get that strife out of you. Get that malice out of you. Get that sinful life out of you. Praise the Lord and watch God move. Watch the living God move. There's only one way to Him, and that's through the door, and that's Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And hallelujah, I feel stirred tonight. And that's what this here message is all about, is getting stirred up. And stir yourself. Hallelujah. If you've been cold a bit on the Lord, you serve Him, and you've not read your Bible in a while, and you've not prayed in a while, you've not listened to gospel music, you've not gone to church in a while, stir yourself up. David was discouraged, and he had to encourage himself. He had to encourage himself. Praise the Lord. And he didn't wait on a pastor to come do it. He didn't wait on the Levites to come do it. He didn't wait on his wife to come do it. He didn't wait on his friends to come stir him up and to encourage him. He encouraged himself. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Encourage
Sister
yourself
Green,
tonight. Go ahead.
I hate to interrupt you. I'm just conversing back and forth with Timothy. He said that his mom's having really bad pain in her head and would like for us to pray. She's getting kind of she's upset over the broadcast, and just we need to really pray because this has to do with the head area. She's not been feeling good all day, and I spoke to her yesterday and she said she wasn't feeling well. So if you would, Brother Clint, you want to lead us in prayer, and we'll go ahead and lift this up to the throne room.
Also, pray for Clinton tomorrow. He has surgery on his eye. We got to be there 8:30 in the morning, so keep him in prayer as well.
Be praying for me also, please. They're wanting to do surgery on me, but I'm praying by faith I won't have to go under the knife again.
Amen. All right. I'm praying that everything's going to come out all right, and they'll get these cataracts off and putting in a lens, and I've been having trouble seeing, and I've been praying for a while, so this may be an answer to God, you know, from the Lord. Let's just, Sister Betty's the one that's having trouble?
Yes. She's hurting real bad in her head, and she's crying right now, so she's very upset, and she's having strange feelings, so we just need to lift her up, and we're really concerned.
All the other requests that probably would have been turned in that have been mentioned, probably to Sister Betty and different ones I know have unspoken requests probably, and things that are spoken. And Brother John, you got more requests out there?
Just like I said, the stirring up, and you know, just my heart's just going out to the whole world tonight, actually. I mean, there's just so much, and you know, there's just so much, Brother Clinton. So, just go ahead. It's the hardest day tonight for the world.
All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just come to you, Father.
Yes, Father, we
Lord,
just to bring us right now. And
Lord,
Sister Betty, Father God,
down there in
Brother Clint's name,
touch her,
Father
Lord,
God.
Touch her head.
Oh, Father God,
whatever
it is,
her
whatever,
Father,
in the name of Jesus, Father God.
Lord, this
yes, Jesus,
enemy,
touch
we find
her
head,
Father God,
by
whatever's
the word
going
God,
on, Lord.
In the name of Jesus,
Jesus, you know what's going on, Lord.
No
matter
what,
Father,
we come against the enemy of her soul.
Father God,
Lord, we pray, God, you move to that family, Lord.
Jesus, you know all that.
Father,
sorry, I'm just been
praying
killing me right now to their household. Father, God, we pray that you move on each and every need that was spoken and unspoken would have been put in tonight. Heavenly Father, you know all things, Lord, be with them in Israel, Father. Dear Brother John, Father God, Michael Gary, my family, Lord God, you see all the needs, Lord, move in a mighty way, Father God. Satan, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Take your hands off my sister in the mighty name of Jesus. Devil, you have no authority, and we plead the blood of our sister right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, help her breathe right now.
Lord
Jesus, move in the mighty
name of Jesus. Send the anointing, Lord, to handle the stronghold in Jesus'
yes,
name.
Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Father, save lost
Jesus
souls tonight, Lord. Touch
Jesus
the heart,
name.
Father.
Touching everyone
in the name
that gets this
of Jesus,
broadcast,
God.
Father.
We thank
tonight,
you.
We pray and thank
Jesus.
You. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
According to Timothy, the broadcast goes to 8:30 also, Brother Clint.
Oh, does it go to 8:30?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, they had to reschedule.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, brother. You and sister
I
Joanna.
I found that scripture
what
there.
Time
what
time is
7:55.
Yeah, it's almost 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to leave you. I've got an appointment at, right after 8, so I'll probably go ahead and leave you, but
okay.
I want all of you to know that we love you, we're praying for you, we're lifting up, and if it wasn't for that, concerning a medical issue that I have to resolve for someone, but we want you to know, be stirred tonight, people, be stirred in the Spirit of the Lord, and just want all of you to know that we love you, and love each and every one of you, and appreciate all of you, brother and sister, Green, carrying on we hand the batons off to each other, and it's a race, amen. And I appreciate such a glass.
Amen.
Appreciate that. You know, it's a privilege to be among men and women of God that are carrying the banner and are stirred up tonight, amen. And I just appreciate that, and I thank the Lord that I've come to know all of you, amen, by the Spirit. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:12, I believe this is know them that labor among you. Kind of a privilege to know each and every one of you and be a part of this broadcast. And so I'll go ahead and sign off now and tell each and every one of you I love you. But we'll be praying for you and each one of you, and be Lord's willing, if not before Friday night, we'll be on the broadcast with all of you Friday night. So Lord bless you.
Okay.
Thanks,
God
brother.
Bless you.
God bless you, brother.
We'll see you later. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
All right. Sister Gladys, you got anything else to...
No, go ahead, Brother Clint.
Okay,
I have a few scriptures, but you go ahead.
About the pottage there. Well, all right. I'll read that, praise God. And get ready if you probably need you to come in there. What would you say, Sister Gladys?
I just have a few scriptures, but go ahead, brother.
Okay, I'll read this one on the pottage in 2 Kings. And Joanna had spoke about this, and I looked it up there a few minutes ago, and it says in the 38th verse, and Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seize pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds his lap full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men that eat, and it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. You know, it makes a difference what we're stirring up tonight.
Amen.
I want to say that. It makes a difference what we're preaching. It makes a difference, the kind of doctrine that we carry tonight. And, you know, I read earlier in the Bible back there in the book of Acts how that the scripture said that they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread from house to house. They were steadfast. They had fellowship and they stayed with one another. They didn't run off and isolate themselves from the church and from the believers. And I want to say tonight, we don't want to get out from under the umbrella of God. We want to stay under the shadow of the Almighty in His secret place. And the Bible said if we do that, we're going to be blessed. Praise God. And And here we found a man that he went out there. Elisha was the man of God that was in charge after that Elijah had left the scene. And Elisha had followed Elijah, and he said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you're with me when I'm taken up, you'll get it. And, you know, we have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to follow this with all of our heart. And with all, we must serve God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. That is the thing that God asks us to do, is to serve the Lord with all of our heart. And, you know, it's a pretty hard thing to do that with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And I believe we're failing in a lot of areas, but, you know, if we're striving, I still believe God is going to be there to help us in times of need. And when we have things that come against us and the enemy attacks our bodies, then I believe, you know, I believe that's what's going on there with Brother Yearwood and them, Sister Betty, that the devil is attacking, but he can't win. God's got a hedge all around us, praise God. And I thank God for that tonight. And even when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will rise up against it and will make up a standard. And I thank God that we're on the winning side tonight. And you know, there's many being led, you know, like the Bible said, led to the slaughter. I mean, like a lamb led to the slaughter, Jesus was there in Isaiah 53. And he was wounded. He took all them stripes, and he took that beating for you and I, that we could have our healing and that, you know, the poison would be out of the pot, I want to say tonight, because Jesus was the one that brought the healing water, the healing stream. And we look back into the Old Testament, and we see how Moses threw that rod or whatever it was, that tree. He cut a tree, a sapling or something, threw it into that bitter water there at Marah. And the water became sweet. And you know, that's a type of the cross right there, that Moses cut that tree and threw it in the water. You know, Jesus was thrown into this great water of humanity, this sea, this mass of people that was in the world at the time that he came. And the fact of the matter is, he was thrown in there for every living soul that would ever live on the face of planet Earth. For every boy and girl and child and every man and woman, Jesus was thrown into the midst. Just like they took when the sea was raging and Jonah said, I'm the cause of it. And they picked him up. He said, throw me into this sea and the waves, and there'll be a calm. It'll get better. They picked him up and threw him in. And that's what they did to Jesus. He was the type of Christ Jonah was. They throwed him into water, and that whale swallowed Jonah, or that great fish swallowed Jonah. And I believe it was a whale because Jesus said it was. And I believe Jesus, praise God, whether it's a great fish or a whale, don't make any difference to me. A fish is a fish, and a whale is a fish, praise God. So we won't fall out over that, praise God.
Yeah.
But here he was thrown into that great sea of humanity to try to sweeten the water and try to make things better. And he came to give eternal life. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He took the poison out of the bite. Praise God. You know, when they were bitten of them serpents back there in the Old Testament, you know, there was fiery serpents bit them. Moses took that, God told him, said, make a brazen serpent and put it upon a pole. And everyone that looks upon that pole is going to live. But they had to look upon that pole. They had to go to where that pole was. I don't believe Moses carried it through of the camp and took it to every part of the camp. I believe he put that pole up on a hill somewhere, and they had to come and look upon that pole, upon that brazen serpent. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus told Nicodemus, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was talking about the time he was going to that cross and dying, and he was going there to take that poison out of this world, to take the poison out of the bite that the serpent had bitten mankind. Praise God. We're reading here in 2 Kings that Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land. In other words, there was a famine, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seize pottage for the sons of the prophets. You see, they must have had something like a Bible school, I kind of believe, because they were learning from the prophet, praise God, and he was teaching them, no doubt, the scriptures. You can't have a prophet without having the scriptures. And so he was dealing with the Word of God. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds in his lap full. He came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. In other words, they didn't know this stuff they was grinding up and shredding up and putting in that great pot. And they was going to have them a big supper, but they was eating the wrong thing. There's a lot of people tonight that's eating the wrong thing. They've got the, they've got something that looks pretty good, they think. It looks real good. And he probably come across them gourds and that wild vine, and he looked at it and said, my goodness, that looks like some good stuff to eat right there. And I bet that's good tasting or whatever. And it'll probably fill us up and give us some energy. But it wasn't going to do that. It was going to bring harm to them men of God. And this young prophet didn't know what he was doing. Now I'll tell you what, we need to study tonight to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we need to hold on to the word of truth. Let us not go out and get some wild vine and some gourd. And let us not pick up something that looks like a Bible and say it's a Bible. But I'll tell you, if they've added to it and they've taken away from it, what they have is a commentary. They got the mind of a man and not the mind of God. And I'll tell you, if you want to keep God's word, you better keep it pure and not add to it and take away. And then you won't have, you know, death in the pot like they had this day. So they poured out for the men to eat, the Bible said here in verse 40. And it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, oh, thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. And, well, it was pretty bitter stuff, I guess. And they knew it was poison. They knew they'd got a hold of the wrong thing. And I'll tell you, we need some discernment this day and age.
Amen.
So we won't get a hold of the wrong thing, but we'll keep on preaching the gospel. Keep on preaching about Jesus, telling the world that he still saves and heals and delivers, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that he's no respecter of person. For as many as received him, he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But I tell you, as many as received him, and I tell you, you can receive him tonight. You don't have to have death or poison in your system. You can have Jesus in you. Praise God. He healed the bitter water there at that place called Marah, there over in the book of Exodus, praise God. And he healed this water here. These men, Moses and Elijah and Elisha and these prophets and all these men in the Old Testament, many of them were a type of Christ. And Many of the things they did pointed to the healing power of Jesus. And we know that no man can heal today except God be with him. And that's what Nicodemus told Jesus. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Praise God. So that's what these Old Testament saints were doing miracles. And they were doing them in the name of Jehovah God. Praise God, the true and the living God. Praise the Lord. There is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. You know, Jesus at that Last Supper took that bread. He took that bread, and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And he was getting ready to go to that cross, praise God, but I wanted to throw that in there tonight, and Joanna had mentioned it, so I looked it up there, and I tell you, we don't want death in our vessel. We want our vessel with the life of Christ in us, praise God. We want to hold on to the true Word of God, to the things of God that will bring salvation, will bring conviction. You know, this preaching of the gospel will bring conviction if we preach. You know, they preached hundreds of years ago with this same Bible, King James Version Bible, and that's what the pilgrims had. They had that Geneva Bible, but it's the same word that was in it in our Bible today in the King James Version. Praise God. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Sister Gladys, and let you give us some of your scriptures there. Say what's on your heart.
Okay, it was a good word, Brother Yearwood. I mean, Brother Clint. I appreciate you and Sister Green helping out tonight. God is so faithful, and I thank Him for that. I'm stirred in my spirit, Sister Joanna, to know that we're going to continue this on Friday. You know, we have to check ourselves and ask ourselves, what have we got stirred up within ourselves? You know, like Brother Green said, we can always go the wrong way and do what these people in Athens did that Paul wanted to reach out so strongly to, but we need to check ourselves and make sure that we don't go off the track and we don't go off the path that we're supposed to be on, and we're supposed to look to the Bibles. You know, it's disturbing me more and more, Brother Green, whenever I read the Bibles or read Facebook posts, and you read them anymore, and I just have to shake my head because I want to put the real scripture out there. I don't want people to be deceived because, you know, the enemy would deceive the very elect if possible. He wants to bring out a familiar spirit to them. It's when they say, well, that sounds good. That sounds right. You know, there's a man walking around the earth today that's claiming to be a prophet of God, that he's Jesus himself. And, you know, they bring in big crowds, and he's getting big money, and there's a lot of women surrounding him. You know, that's between him and God, but there's only one God, and there's only one Lord Jesus Christ, and he hasn't come back yet, and people will follow false gods, and they will follow the Antichrist when he comes upon the scene. The Antichrist is living and well today, but he hasn't come upon the scene for us to see yet, but we do have to watch what we're doing in our life, and make sure it's pure and holy. And like Brother Green said, we need to check the scriptures that we read. And, you know, I want it to be the pure word of God because his intention was to give it to the men, holy men of God, to write it out by the Holy Spirit the way he intended it for us to read. And I don't want it to be scattered or different or words taken out. He said not to take away or add to. And I want to stick to what the Bible says. I want to go back and goes a little bit with what Brother Green was teaching on. With, you know, each of the apostles had the same goals as far as bringing the gospel to the sinner and wanting them to understand that there was a Lord and a Savior that would help them if they repented. And I'm going to go to Acts 2. Brother Green already read one verse in 38. I'm going to read that down. Says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children. Household salvation, I praise him for that. Then it goes on and says, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In verse 40 it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. We're living in the last days, and it's a crooked generation. And that's what my Bible is speaking about. And he said, don't go that way. He said, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. We need to teach the gospel the way it's written and do what we need to do. And like I've always said before, we need to live it, not just speak about it, but people are watching our lives. You know, we may not always preach a sermon, but people are looking at a sermon each time we walk outside of our homes or even inside of our homes. Our children watch closely to make sure that we're living the way the Word says. And on down in Acts 4, on down to 12, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know, there is only one Christ, only one that went to the cross for me, and he's the only one that paid the price that I needed that debt to be paid for. And I give him glory for that, because I know, like Brother Clint was saying earlier, each drop he shed was shed for our healing. And he bore our sorrows, and he bore our griefs, and he already has gone through each and every thing that we've gone through, and he's taken every sin that we ever repent for, and he's cast it to the sea, never more to remember. You know, many people will remember the sins of our past, but we have to just hold our heads up, not in pride, but to know who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to know that the enemy will show the world today a good picture of what's on one side, but he never shows them the other side, and that's why the prisons are full today. You know, we need to sit under a godly man that preaches the word the way it is written. You know, when someone gets in your pulpit and preaches the word of God, you need to truly check the Bible and make sure the scriptures say what they say and what they're preaching on. You know, like I said, the enemy will show people the one side, but he'll never show them the other side. And that's led many people into darkness, making them believe a lie. And the Bible says, when you believe a lie, you're damned. And I know this much, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we ask him to come into our hearts and repent and truly believe that he died and rose again, I know that he will bring salvation not only to us, but to our households. Like he said, this promise is unto our children also. And I praise God for that. It was good to hear that a cousin of mine has received the Lord Jesus. He was a backslider and come back to the Lord. You know, many people say, once in grace, always in grace. But that's a doctrine that only some people can hold on to. You can't sin every day and expect to go to heaven. I know that we have to live a pure life and be holy before the Lord. And the only way we can do that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. I glorify him tonight. You know, I didn't mean to get upset, but I pray that the anointing came through with what I preached. But it's not about me. It's all about God. You know, sometimes the enemy will attack you physically before the broadcast comes on, but that's not going to make me stop. He may hinder, but he can't stop the Word of God. And I thank him that I have brothers and sisters that will stand with me with this broadcast. I know Brother Yearwood appreciates you and Sister Green tonight. Brother Green, I'm sorry. I get my names mixed up. But he has confidence in you, and he has true belief that you're the men and women of God, that you stand and hold fast to believe in the Word of God, and you live it. You know, and there's a difference. Some people will say, yes, I'm a Christian, and they have this big old cross hanging on their neck, but it takes more than a cross around our necks to say that we're truly a Christian and a child of God. You know, I'm a king's daughter, and I think I know that I need to live it that way and only speak pure and holy things. Like like Sister Green said, I'm anxious to know in a good way about what the Holy Spirit will bring forth on Friday. You know, we have to die out daily to the flesh. I need to decrease so the Holy Spirit and the living God within me, the Holy Spirit within me, can increase. I need to decrease, and He can increase. I glorify my God. I thank Him for all that He's doing with this broadcast and Green's broadcast also. I know that people out there that question salvation can be stirred up, and they can understand what we're preaching about, and they can understand why Jesus died on the cross for us. It wasn't in vain. If we carry forth the gospel like the apostles in the past did, you know, the Bible tells me that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover, and we'll be doing greater works than Jesus did. But I know this much, we better be living like Jesus did, or those scriptures can't come to pass. It's only contingent on obedience. We have to live like Jesus did in order for that scripture to come true. You know, many prophecies are spoken, but they're only contingent on obedience. You know, many people are called today, but few are chosen. You know, many people are called to preach and go forth, and those gifts are without repentance. Jesus will never be sorry for calling someone to preach the Word of God. And when He calls us to do those works, do those things for Him, lay hands on the sick and preach the Word of God, we need to do those things and be faithful to the house of God. You know, like I said earlier, many people think they can stay home and never visit the house of God, but that's not what my Bible says to do. You know, each person has to work out their own salvation, and I thank God for that, because many people would have given up on me years ago when I was sickly and laying on my deathbed and couldn't go to the house of God. And it's only until they can't go to the house of God do they understand when one misses a time in the house of God at an attendance of being there during a nighttime service or a morning service. But I know we need to be faithful to the house of God, but most of all to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll turn it back over to you, Sister Joanne.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Sister Gladys. That was good word. And I know Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood, I'm sure they appreciate us filling in like this. And I talked to Timothy on Facebook a while ago. Their power is going on and off, so they're in, they're out. Sister Betty, along with the headaches that she's having, she's also having a very hard time breathing. So Timothy has not talked to me here in probably the last, I'd say, 10 minutes. So I've asked a few questions, and he hadn't responded back. So I don't know if they're on the way to their emergency room, but keep them in prayer. Their broadcast is every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And so we'll be back with him next Tuesday. Praise the Lord. Remember us, we have a prayer broadcast as well on Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time. And it's a two-hour program, just like Brother Yearwood. And all that you hear tonight, and there's more that usually come on. Maybe they weren't able to because of the power situation with the electric going off, but join us on Friday night and again on next Tuesday night with Brother Yearwood. We're going to come to you with this here song, and we just hope it blesses you. Praise God.
One day old King David came home to a city called Big Black. And while he was gone, the devil had come and stole everything that he had. You see, but David encouraged himself in the Lord and made up in his mind. He said, I'm on my way. Tonight, taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back. I'm taking it back.
Praise the Lord. I tell you, there's a shout in the camp. Woo! I said there's a shout in the camp. Oh, some of you have been waiting. You've been waiting for a time to dance before the Lord. Now's the time.
Yeah.
I said now's the time.
Yeah.
To just get out the aisles and just begin to dance before the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The kill and the sword.
Oh, yeah.
And I must admit, there have been times when he's taken away my joy. But I'm so noticed on the devil today. His kingdom is under the king. Cause I'm on my way now to his kingdom. And I'm taking my property back. Devil!
I'm taking it back. Everything that the devil stole from me.
I'm taking it back.
Somebody praise him. Come on, praise him.
Glory to God.
We got something to be happy about.
Yes.
I said we got something to be excited about. Hallelujah. Everything.
Glory
everything
to God.
You and I have need of tonight, whether it's peace in your spirit or whether it's healing in your body or whether it's a sound mind. It's been bought and paid for.
Yes.
With the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I said with the blood of Jesus. Can we just praise him one more time?
Hallelujah.
Oh,
hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Glory, glory, glory.
Thank you, Lord. Praise.
Praise God. That's what we need to do is if we're down and discouraged, we need to take back what the devil stole from us. We need to take our joy back. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need to take our stuff back. Hallelujah. The gifts and callings are without repentance. Praise the Lord. And, you know, this has been a wonderful broadcast. We sure do miss Brother Yearwood and Sister Yearwood. And, and Brother John had to go but if you need to find you a place to pray, we encourage you to do just that and stir up yourself, stir up the gifts within you. And again, Friday night subject with our broadcast with the Greens, it's Macedonian Call around the globe. If you want to go to blogtalkradio.com/ the Macedonian Call around the globe. And that's going to be our subject again tonight, as tonight's was, stir up. What do you have stirring? Praise God. Or what are you stirring? So stir up yourself. Praise the Lord. Jesus, the Lord is a spirit. God is a spirit. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost is spirit. Praise God. Greater is he that is in you than the he that is in the world. And, you know, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, John 10:10. But God come that he give life and give it more abundantly. Praise the Lord. So you can live right here, heaven.